A very good, very warm welcome to you all this morning. It's a pleasure indeed to see you, and thank you for adhering to our guidance and instructions as we ourselves have to adhere to the requirements of presbytery. Amos, our minister, is on holiday for the next 2 weeks, and so it is going to fall on the worship team to lead the services. And today we're delighted to have Bill Imlay leading our service. Thank you.
Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. If you're surprised to see me here, that makes two of us. I know there are one or two of you who are here for, I'm going to say the first time, but you know what I mean. So especially warm welcome to you for coming to this service. As people, we have gathered. Today we come with all kinds of emotions. Dismayed, discordant, discouraged, empowered, enthused, encouraged, are just pleased to be here again. Let us sit together, sharing this time of worship. Let us possess the peace of God. Let us be wrapped up in the warmth of his love. Let us be comforted and commended, prepared for fellowship with God and communion in the company of each other. Let us worship God. Our first music this morning is, well, I'd be singing 184, hymn 184, Sing to the Lord a Joyful Song. For joys untold that from above cheer those who love his sweet employ. Sing to our God, for he is love. Exalt his name, for it is joy. Let us pray. Almighty God, we come before you to worship you. We come with all your peoples in heaven and on earth, to lift up our hearts and our lives and give the praise and honour due to you, our God and King. We know that our words can never fully express your greatness, that our minds can only begin to recognize something of your wonder. But we bring what we are, and we bring this time of worship, offering all to you as a sign of our love and a simple expression of our praise. We praise you again for our world and all the beauty of your creation. We praise you for the life you have given us, so full of blessings. We praise you for all you have done in Christ, for the richness of life you offer through him. We praise you for your love, upon which we can all depend, a love that is always with us. Almighty God, accept our worship. Touch our hearts with the nearness of your presence. Deepen our faith, strengthen our commitment, and broaden our vision, so that we may grow as your people and play our part in working for your kingdom. Forgive us that we have not appreciated all you have done. We have not kept our first sense of wonder at your greatness. We have not given you the praise that is rightfully yours. We have presumed to limit you to our own expectations. We have been closed to your Holy Spirit's prompting. We have been reluctant to follow Christ because his invitation has disturbed us. Yet you have shown mercy to us, constantly reaching out to call to us again. In grateful praise, we bring you our worship. Come to us now as we worship you, and through your loving grace, give us guidance for the days ahead. Help us to grow stronger in faith, more committed to discipleship, more faithful in the service to which you call us, until that day when he is all and in all. Father, we come to you now with the words you taught us to say when we are together as a family. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn this morning, it comes in the hymn book 509, Jesus Calls Us O'er the Tumult.
The first reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 25, reading verses 1 to 9. Isaiah 25, verses 1 to 9. Praise to the Lord. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name. For in perfect faithfulness you have done marvelous things, things planned long ago. You have made the city a heap of rubble, the fortified town a ruin, the foreigner's stronghold a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will honor you. Cities of ruthless nations will revere you. You have been a refuge for the poor, a refuge for the needy in his distress, a shelter from the storm, and a shade from the heat. For the breath of the ruthless is like a storm driven against a wall, and like the heat of the desert. Your silence, the uproar of foreigners, as heat is reduced by the shadow of a cloud, so the song of the ruthless is stilled. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The Sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Our second reading is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 22, reading verses 1 to 14. It's Matthew 22, reading verses 1 to 14. The parable of the wedding banquet. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, ill-treated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those who I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went into the streets and gathered the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. 'Friend,' he asked, 'how did you get in here without wedding clothes?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" Amen, and may God add his blessings to these readings from his holy word.
Thank you, Christine. I have to tell you, this is going to show my age and how sad I am. The second LP I ever bought was by Joe Gordon's Folk Four. Does anybody else remember them? Yes, one at least, a couple of years. Well, they had one of the tunes they played was the tune that we're going to listen to now was Kelvin Grove, and the hymn is, "Will You Come and Follow Me If I But Call Your Name?"
Thank you.
Almighty God, you have built your church on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Join us together in unity of spirit by their teaching, that we may become a holy temple acceptable to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A Christmas or two ago, as a stocking filler, Margaret gave me the first series of Games of Thrones. Fiona, our younger daughter, was appalled, to say the least. It's full of pornography and violence. My first thought was, somewhat surprisingly, that we had now reached the age when our daughters had started to protect us, rather than the other way around. I've now watched the full 7 series of Game of Thrones, and well, she was certainly spot on about the violence. If you're fans of that particular TV series, then it is unlikely that you would be put off by the blood and gore in this morning's parable. Matthew 22, verses 1 to 14, really is the wedding feast from hell. The early events are very much in line with the customs of the time and place. For example, when the initial invitations to a great feast or a celebration, such as a wedding, were sent out, it was meant as a signal. The intention was to alert the guests to what was happening, and they had to prepare for being there. What was not given was the exact time it would happen. The final summons were issued only when everything was ready for the feast. In the parable, when that final invitation was sent out, the servants were treated in a very cruel and insulting way. All through his gospel, Matthew is reaching out to his own people. He is trying to help the men and women of the beloved faith in which he grew up. He was trying to help them to understand the relevance and the importance of Jesus. And he uses this parable to illustrate his message. The king in the parable is God. The feast recalls the invitation at Isaiah 25 at verse 6. The Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all his people, all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, and the finest of wines. The invitation is to the banquet of his son. It is the banquet of the Messiah. This is the time of the fulfillment of God's purposes, and the son of the banquet is Jesus. As he had done all through the ages, God is inviting the people of Israel, the wedding guests of the story, to come when he calls to them, to accept him, to follow him, to be his special people. In particular, the wedding guests are the great and the good of Israel, who have refused to see God's purpose in Jesus. They refuse the invitation. Once something exclusive and meant for only the invited few, the invitation was taken instead to the highways and the byways of the country. Going back to Isaiah 25, verse 7 reads, "On this mountain he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the shroud that covers all nations." In other words, the sinners and the Gentiles were brought into the presence of God. The very people who were thought to be outcasts and unacceptable received the greatest invitation anyone can imagine. The servants of the story are the great prophets of the Old Testament. Time after time, they were sent by God and then gradually ignored. Now, sometimes that happened for reasons that were quite ordinary and commonplace. However, it was also because they posed a danger to a comfortable and privileged way of life. Not only did some of the invited guests refuse the invitation, but they tortured and then killed the servants. This so enraged the king that he sent for his army. They massacred the original guests and then they reduced their homes to rubble. I think it could be fairly argued that this is maybe a wee bit of overreaction. For example, in Luke's version of the Great Banquet, there's nothing on this scale at all. What event could have occurred for Matthew to include such bloodshed and devastation into the story? Well, it's believed that Matthew was writing his gospel between 80 and 90 AD. In other words, he knew from either direct experience or from first-hand accounts of the destruction of Jerusalem by the armies of Rome. In 70 AD, the city was completely levelled. Every building was reduced to the point where it was claimed that a team of oxen could pull a plough over the land where the city once stood. Complete disaster had come to the people who, to the very people who had failed to recognize the Son of God when he came. Those who I invited did not deserve to come. Matthew 22, verse 9. What had caused this was the political bickering, the religious backstabbing, and the fierce determination to hang on to privilege, all of which escalated after the time of the crucifixion. It finally provoked the avenging wrath of Rome. Tiberius, the Roman emperor, could no longer endure the vicious political maneuverings of the Jewish leaders. It was an easy victory against a bitterly divided country. The people who had rejected Jesus were unable to walk together in love, in humility, and in sacrificial service to God and to each other. Reading this parable, we can acknowledge that love and humanity and listening to God are fundamentally important. But it is possible to reflect that Matthew was speaking solely to a specific group and only maybe indirectly to us. Well, what about the wedding guest? Matthew 22, verse 12. Friend, he asked, how did you get in here wearing the wrong clothes? Here's someone who appeared without the appropriate wedding clothes. He is the insider. He represents us. He has heard the invitation to come to the feast of the Messiah. He has been given the chance to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he doesn't seem to have grasped the full meaning of the invite. He has appeared, but has done nothing to justify his choice. He has not prepared properly at all. He has not changed his life in any significant way. Colossians 3 at verse 12. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Tom Wright wrote this about the wedding guest. The point of the story is Jesus is telling the truth. The truth that political and religious leaders often like to hide. The truth that God's kingdom is a kingdom in which love and mercy and justice and holiness reign unhindered. They are the clothes you need to wear for the wedding. And if you refuse to put them on, you're saying you don't want to stay at the party. That is the reality. Love, justice, mercy, holiness. The invitation of God is the invitation to something that is rich and wonderful. It is an invitation to joy. If we believe that following Jesus is to deny ourselves laughter, if we believe that following Jesus is to shut out all that brings sunshine to our lives, if we believe that following Jesus is to give up the warmth of true friendships, then that is to understand completely the whole nature of Christian life. To be invited to follow God is the greatest joy. If we refuse that invitation, then it is joy we refuse. We miss out on the great things that God and life can bring us. Now, be careful. The things that make us deaf to the great invitation of Christ are not necessarily bad things in themselves. One person went to look after his land. He might have had a crop ready to bring in, workers needing to be put to work and paid for their efforts. The other went to his business. We're not given an inkling about what that business might be, but he might have had needy customers waiting for him to appear. These two went away to undertake everyday tasks important to the lives of their families and their communities. Something, in other words, that we have all done and still do as we live busy and active lives, contributing and taking part in life in all its fullness, things that are important to us and those whom we meet. Jesus would have known all about that as from his time as a carpenter in Nazareth. However, we must take care. We must take care that the unseen, the things of eternity, are even more important. We cannot be so caught up in the bustle and the noise of this world that we cannot hear the soft invitation of Jesus calling us to him. The words of Jesus reminding us that God is our maker, our guide, and our friend. Sometimes we're working so hard on what is the second greatest thing in our lives that we lose sight of that which is the greatest. It is easy to fill our lives with important things, and that is not a bad thing. It is important physically and mentally and emotionally to be involved and busy, but it can never be to the point where we forget the call of God, where we forget what he wants us to be, where we allow ourselves to stray away from him. The parable warns us of the wonderful things we will miss if we refuse the invitation of Jesus to come to his feast. We see how the ones who were refused were punished in the most brutal way. Our real punishment would be that we would be missing the great joy, the eternal comfort, and the infinite love which knowing Jesus can bring. Our lives would be as empty as those at the places of the feast. If we turn down the opportunity to dine with Jesus, our greatest pain would lie not in the things we suffer, but in the knowledge of the precious things we have missed and the bitter regret that we have cheated ourselves so much of the greatest things in life. Lastly, and most importantly, God's invitation to us is the invitation of grace. Those folk who were dragged into the wedding feast by the servants are mentioned as being both good and bad. They had no claim at all on the king. None of them would have had the slightest thought that they would ever be invited to a celebration of the king's son. They would never have believed that they deserved such a thing. It was far beyond their reach. It came from nothing other than the wide spread arms of a king whose heart is always open to the poor and the needy, a king whose hospitality knows no bounds and no frontiers. It is through the grace of God that an invitation is offered, and it is through his grace that we will be gathered in. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this great invitation and your grace towards us. So clothe us with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience that All who know us will see your reflections in us. In Jesus' name, amen. The next piece of music, hymn 623, Here in this place, new light is shining. Come to our prayer of dedication. Let us pray. Lord of all, as we make our offering today, we do not just bring you money. We bring ourselves, we bring our fellowship, we bring your church throughout the world. And we do so, praying that you will use all that we do, all that we say, all that we are for the growth of your kingdom and the fulfillment of your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now, again, our prayers for others. Let us pray. We pray for those who demonstrate the love of God in the community. For those who go out each day in the knowledge that they are joining their energies with the God who is already at work in the world. For those who go out in the expectation of meeting Christ in the lives of those who know him and in the lives of those who do not. May the Spirit of Christ strengthen their love. Lord of all creation, send us out in your name. We pray for those who proclaim the love of God, for those whose words and deeds faithfully declare the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit to make lives new. For those whose words of witness to their neighbours and their colleagues come with the ring of truth and the cutting edge of personal experience, may the Spirit of Christ strengthen their love. Lord of all creation, send us out in your name. We pray for all those who are involved in mission and evangelism, for all who plan, lead or organise the life of this congregation to reach out to our local community with the love of God. We pray for all those involved in our Zoom ministry in Mana and our youth ministry team. We pray for our Kirk session, and we pray for our friends in Lookers, in Tayport, Wormit, in Balmerino, and Creech, Flisk, and Kilmeny, as together we seek a new future of mission and service in this area. For all involved in the work of outreach, and for all churches who are treating with the utmost seriousness the call of Christ to make disciples, may the Spirit of Christ strengthen their love. Lord of all creation, send us out in your name. We pray for those who show the love of God in their work with the young and the old, for those whose loving care and genuine concern for the vulnerable and the innocent, the weak and the frail, the forgotten and the forgetful, is a reflection of the loving heart of God and the gentleness of Christ. For all who seek to heal relationships and share the pain of families that have reached breaking point, may the Spirit of Christ strengthen their love. Lord of all creation, send us out in your name. We pray for all those who witness to the love of God in the life of the church, for those whose words and deeds and service are examples of compassion, hope, and understanding. For those whose service is always in the background, for those who are never noticed and who serve without thought of reward, may the Spirit of Christ strengthen their love. Lord of all creation, send us out in your name. We pray for ourselves. As we seek to show the love of God, grant that we may have the courage to speak out in your name, to proclaim your message of love, of forgiveness, of acceptance. We pray that in whatever company we find ourselves, we are proud to declare ourselves members of the Church of the Risen Christ. May the Spirit of Christ strengthen our love. Lord of all creation, send us out in your name. We ask these prayers in the name of Christ, the one who is Lord of all. Amen. When it would have been the second generation of disciples were being sent out to take the message of Jesus to places far and wide, they asked, what do we say? What is our core message? They were given something not unlike the Apostles' Creed. So, if you're able, we stand together. We stand as believers through the ages have done and declare our faith. Please stand. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And in true Presbyterian style, I'll ask you to sit down. Our final music this morning is, well, it would be hymn 511. Your hand, O God, has guided your flock from age to age. Ask you to stand for the benediction, if you will. You'll notice it's slightly different this week. Our service here has ended, and we go out into the world. As you do so, be bold to share the life of Christ and to show his love. And may the blessing of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us and remain with us and those whom we love always.